offers blood flow restricted rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And welcome to another edition of Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBuyingAuto.com. I'm Tim Miller, joined by Dylan Sherwood as we hold down the fort in studio today. Blake Cripps and crew heading to Joplin, Missouri. Well, later on this afternoon, the Emporia State Hornets will take on Missouri Southern, a MIAA showdown there again in Joplin, the 18th-ranked Emporia State Hornets. So we will, of course, hear from Blake later on today as he and Kent Weiser, Tegan Trahoon all take to the air and bring us Emporia State football. For Dylan and myself, we'll talk sports here a little bit this morning, and then we will hear later on from Emporia State men's basketball coach Tom Billiter, who was interviewed early in the week by Blake.
Yes.
Blake caught up with him. And then we were told last week by one Mitch Holtis that despite the bye week, he would join us on the program this morning. So we do expect a call from Mitch Holtis a little bit later on in the hour. Of course, plenty going on. Of course, football, certainly the focus. Emporia State had some other sports going on this week, too, that we can brief you on. I know you hear a lot of it during Dylan's sportscast, but soccer, volleyball, cross country, all of those folks were in action this past week.
Yep, they were all in action yesterday.
So, yeah, busy Friday. And, of course, high school football last night took center stage. And Dylan, you were in Topeka, Washburn Rule specifically. I guess technically you were in Auburn, not in Topeka.
Well, technically, Washburn Rule High School is in the suburbs of Topeka.
Yes.
And Auburn is still there about maybe 5 or 6 miles to the southwest. But it's 61st and Watermaker, the vicinity where Washburn Rural High School is. And I knew this going in. Washburn Rural, good football team. They had some new guys and new roles. But their record on paper, you know, entering last night was 2-3. But also, and I mentioned it in pregame, they played a Blue Valley team that was ranked, I believe still ranked in the top five in Class 5A. They played Blue Valley Northwest, who suffered their first loss of the season last week against Blue Valley West, whose quarterback is Matt Nagy's son, Tate, who's a KU commit.
Yes.
So, yeah, Blue Valley Northwest is a good football team, and I was able to watch film on them when they played Washburn Rural, and I saw some things on Washburn Rural, and I just knew what they had, and they just had a tandem of when you have two running backs that can be like a speedster or two bruisers, that's what Washburn Rural had last night. And you know, when John Hoytel, their quarterback, I knew about him, you know, inheriting the starting role after Brandon DeWeese graduated, who was a first-team All-Centennial League pick last year. I knew that Washburn Rural was still going to be good. That 2-3 record in my mind was very misleading. I knew how tough of competition that they were playing, and with them ending Topeka High's undefeated season last week, I knew Washburn Rural was going to be another handful despite a 2-3 record. But yeah, one thing, and I brought this up in post game. I really liked the first drive that Emporia High had. You know, they were able to move the ball, but then they just couldn't be consistent and carry over that confidence. And then that final drive where they were able to produce a 70-yard scoring drive and capping off with a 29-yard touchdown reception by Owen Ruge. You know, and I said, this has got to be positive going into next week, Spring Hill. This is an opportunity. You know, Spring Hill plays a dominant 4A schedule out of the Frontier League. You know, they defeated Paola last night 42-7, but their only loss is that it's to a good Ottawa team, coached by Walt Alexander, longtime coach at Topeka High.
Okay.
So, yep.
I mean, it's it goes without saying. It was just, I mean, a lot of things have to go right for this young football team in order to have success and to potentially get a win. And as we've seen throughout the course of the first now 6 weeks of the season, other than Coffeyville, because they did get off to a good start in that game, but the starts have not been good for this team, and it was not last night. Mm-hmm. You know, they're down 14-0 at the end of the first quarter, which wasn't bad, but then next thing you know, it turns into a 32-0 halftime deficit, and that's impossible to overcome.
It definitely is.
And you know, you mentioned Washburn Rule, better than the record indicated. And the fact that they had ended Topeka High's undefeated season the week before, not only did they end it, they dominated the game against Topeka High.
Well, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see where Washburn Rule is in 2 weeks, because in week eight, they go to Manhattan. Okay. And if Manhattan's still undefeated in league, and if the Junior Blues are undefeated as well, that's for the league title in week eight. And Manhattan, I saw Manhattan in person last week. Manhattan beat Wichita Northwest last night 38-17.
Yeah, so they continue to roll along.
Yep.
One of the top teams in 6A.
And Junction City last night, they handled Topeka High pretty good too. I believe it was like 50-17 or something. But yeah. And JC, they were 1-4 going into last night.
So now 2-4.
Now they're 2-4.
So Emporia High will close out with Spring Hill. They'll have them on the road next week, and then they will finish at home against Junction City.
Yep.
And that will be the end of their regular season before then the playoffs start in week nine. So, yeah, 53-8, by the way, the final last night, if we did not say that, as Emporia High loses on the road at Washburn. Really, you mentioned Spring Hill next week. They're 5-1, beat Paola last night, lost to Ottawa. That's the only blemish on their record. They play predominantly all 4A schools, but it's going to be a tough, another tough road game for Emporia High.
Because, definitely.
You know, at this point in time, you just hope that, you know, the mental aspect of the game becomes pretty critical now. You know, we've heard from Coach Glensman, you know, recently saying that, you know, mentally, kids are still certainly mentally engaged, giving it their best effort, and that's all you can hope for. And hopefully that will be the case as they go down the stretch run here of the regular season. So, Emporia High again loses last night at Washburn Rule to a Washburn Rule team that just certainly was much better than their record indicated.
Mm-hmm.
Area games last night on our area game of the week on Country 101.7 FM. Of course, we had Olpe taking on Mission Valley. The Eagles collect a win, 34-14.
That's 5 in a row for Chris Schmidt's Eagles.
5-1 now on the season.
They get ready for Rossville.
That will be a very good football game. You talk about a team whose record may not be indicative of how good they are. Rossville may fit that category as well.
Yeah.
Because I think they're, 2-4, 3-3, something like that?
Yeah, they defeated Caraparavel last night, 71-24. Rossville, let me pull this up, Tim. But they actually had a forfeit win over Maranatha Academy, who Opie played last Friday, and they had to play an 8-man game.
That's right.
But Rossville has a 33-26 loss in overtime to Silver Lake, a 24-19 loss to St. Mary's, who Osage City had to come back and win that football game last night, and a 3-point loss to the defending champions in 2A, Nemaha Central.
So, yeah, so I think Rossville is much better.
And they're 3-3.
Yep, than what their record indicates. So I think Olpe will certainly have their
and they go there.
Oh, okay, so that's at Rossville?
That's at Rossville.
Okay. So Olpe at Rossville next Friday night. Elsewhere in the area, Madison collects a win over Linden. That was a good football game, 40-36.
That's a big win for Nate Teichgraver's Bulldogs. Because our area game of the week in 2 weeks could be for that district title in 8-man-1 between the Battle of the Bulldogs between Madison and Chase County. So Coach Teichgraber down there, I ended up giving him a call last night. I wanted to ask him about it because, just wanted to hear about it. And, you know, that's both Chase County and Linden, or Chase County and Madison, that has knocked off Linden here. And in recent weeks, too.
And very close games.
And very close games, too.
So Linden has to feel a little bit snake bit here the last couple of weeks.
Yep, and trying to defend their 8-man Division I state championship. I believe they're 3-3 now.
You mentioned Chase County. They had a win last night, beat Flint Hills 56-6. So Chase County beginning to roll along. Speaking of rolling along,
Burlingame.
Wow. 76-0 over Hartford last night.
Yeah, Jeff Slater's bunch, they're really good.
Right now they're proving to be the best team in the area in terms of certainly 8-man. I know Olpe certainly on the 11-man side of things.
But, I would say Osage City is probably the top area school in 11-man. As I mentioned, they rallied against St. Mary's last night on the road for Coach Andrew Gattenbein's Indians. And when I talk to Coach Gattenbein every Monday on the Area Coaches Corner, this is arguably the toughest district in Class 2A, because this district has Riley County, Council Grove, also I got to pull Osage schedule up, but Osage City, they've handled the call pretty well. And So, their district is Riley County, Silver Lake, St. Mary's, and Council Grove.
Okay.
So, they're 2-0 in the district, and they go to Silver Lake next. So Andrew Gattenbein and company, another good one coming up, and then they conclude the regular season at Riley County.
Okay. Other games last night, Rural Vista defeated Lebo 40-24. Lebo, a couple of losses now.
Yeah, a couple of losses in a row for Brian Hadley's squad. I know they had some high expectations. I feel like this is a reverse from last year for them. They started like 0-3, 0-4. I think it was 0-3. Then they rattled six straight wins off and got to the second round of the postseason and lost to Hanover. But this year they started out 4-0, now 4-2. And I think they have center next, and then they play Sunrise Christian's 8-man prep team in week 8. So still some time for the Wolves.
Marmaton Valley beat Waverly 46-0 last night.
Yep.
Council Grove gets a win over Central Heights 58-0. Eureka beat West Franklin also 58-0. Did we see in Northern Heights, they play Yates Center last night?
Yeah, let me actually check on that, because I didn't get anything, but let me check K-Preps real quick. Yates Center was 0-5 heading into that contest with Northern Heights last night. Let me see if there's a score posted. And it looks like Northern Heights, they got a win last night, 54-0.
So Northern Heights, I think they're now, 500?
They're at 500.
All right.
They're at 500, and they snapped a long losing streak in week 3 at Hartford, and they're 3-3, and first year in 8-man, and they're adjusting well, and they'll be on our area game of the week next Friday with the Wildcats heading to Chase County. That should be hopefully a good one.
Yep. So again, I was just going to mention that. Yep, next week, Northern Heights at Chase County in our area game of the week. So that covers the area high schools in terms of what they did last night. While we're on our high school topic, what about Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week, Dylan?
All righty. Well, kind of had to do some thinking because there was few limited events that happened this week, and just kind of going back to what I've seen and what I've reported on, but I'm going back to the boys soccer team for this week's Emporia High Main Street Athlete of the Week. I'm going to go with the sophomore, Braden Seiler. Had two goals on Thursday night in a win over Pittsburgh, and Braden has had a tough sophomore year, but hopefully he gets some confidence back. But Victor Ibarra's squad, they're young, but they're still fun to watch at times, and I know with them bouncing back on Thursday with that win over Pittsburgh after a 3-0 loss to Wichita Trinity on Tuesday. But Braden Seiler, Emporia High boys soccer team, is our Emporia High Emporia Main Street Athlete of the Week. And for our area Athlete of the Week, we're going to the Madison Bulldogs. Okay. And I got this he's been nominated twice, but I told Coach Ty Scraver when I talked to him on Thursday, I said, if you win, I'm calling you on Friday to figure out the stats. Colton Ish last night in that win over Linden, he had – I got to pull this up real quick. Coach Ty Scraber sent this to me last night. But Colton Ish last night, 23 carries, 142 yards, and two touchdowns. He was 2-of-3 passing for 12 yards. Defensively last night, Ish had six tackles as well. So good night for the senior Colton Ish. Well-deserving of him. I'm going to give an honorable mention because I talked to Coach Ty Scraver about this as well. But besides Colton Ish last night for the Bulldogs, Cruz Leiser, 19 carries, 193 yards, and three touchdowns, but an honorable mention there. But Colton Ish of the Madison football team, our Emporia Main Street Area Athlete of the Week.
All right, so Colton Ish from Madison, and then Braden Seiler from the Emporia High soccer team, our Athletes of the Week. We probably would be remiss if we didn't at least bring back up the Royals before we take our first break. Man, what a season. Certainly disappointing to see it end on Thursday, particularly at the hands of the New York Yankees. Yeah. But 86 wins, mm-hmm. 30 more than they had the previous year. Yep. Not only do they have one of the biggest turnarounds in Major League Baseball history, they go on then to get into the postseason and win a series. Took out Baltimore 2-0 in the wild card round. And as Sean Thornton was alluding to when I talked to him yesterday after Thursday's loss at the end of the year, Yankees didn't really outplay Kansas City. The Royals just could not get enough timely hits. I will also say, too, you know, the pitching staff had been great all year, so you can't knock them at all. But in this Yankees series, they did walk 27 hitters over the course of four games.
It's an average of about seven a game.
Yeah, so the walks did not help. And maybe even bigger than the walks, you look at their numbers two, three, and four hitters, the meat of their order, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, Salvador Perez. In the series, they combined to go 6 of 49. That's a 122 batting average. They had one home run and two RBIs. Salvi with the homer and one ribby. Yeah. Pasquantino had one RBI. Bobby Witt did not drive in a run the entire series. He was 2 of 17. Royals had to get more. Mm-hmm. Out of their two, three, and four hitters to have a real shot. They didn't. But again, that certainly does not take away or diminish what they did. What a tremendous year. And, man, the fact we got playoff baseball again, I think it rejuvenated certainly a lot of Royals fans. Mm-hmm. Certainly some fringe Royals fans maybe got back involved with the team. But what a great ride, great season. And now we'll see what they do in the offseason. They certainly have some moves to make. They know where their deficiencies are, and hopefully they can address some of these issues and come back and get back in the postseason again. But, wow, what a year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one thing I want to bring up, just paying attention to that entire series, and, you know, the Jazz Chisholm, the slide in game one, where replay had stood the call at Chisholm was safe. There was a lot of fuel to the fire to this series as well. And another thing that I think Royals fans could be disappointed in as well, the inconsistency of the strike zone. It yep. was extended more out of it, and it was frustrating to watch. Just the inconsistency of the strike zone.
Yep, I would agree.
And there's a reason why a lot of walks happened.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, that's a very valid point. So, unfortunately, Royal season is over, but what a great run it was. So, and with that, we'll take our first break here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Hey, East Central Kansas, Chevy truck season continues at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, and the offers are even better. Get truck season offers on our inventory of new Silverado models in stock. Offers like a 2024 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 with lots of great options right now, only $489 a month for 36 months. Or get a 2025 Chevy Trax Active for only $289 per month for 36 months. Plus, you can get a 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for only $329 per month for 36 months. The truck season savings are great, so don't wait another day. Hurry in for our best inventory in years at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Or you can visit us online 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. Payments based on 36-month low mileage lease, 12,000 miles per year, $6,500 cash or trade equity plus TT&L due at closing with approved credit.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. We'd like to salute the Indiana Hoosiers football team, who has started 6-0 for the first time since 1967. With their road victory over Northwestern last weekend, Indiana became the first bowl-eligible team in the country. The Hoosiers have been dominant in their first six games, winning all of them by double digits. Indiana is led by new head coach Kurt Cignetti, who led James Madison to an 11-1 record last season. While the Hoosiers have some tough Big Ten matchups in the latter half of their schedule, they only have two more road games left. For now, Cignetti has the Indiana program blooming in his first year on the job.
We have a blueprint. We have a way we play. We've got character. We've got some talent, right? When you take over a program, the number one thing you got to do is change the way people think, the way you play the game, your expectation level, your standards, how you do things, the fan base, what to expect. You got to change the way people think.
A comeback in Blacksburg next on This Week in the NCAA.
Wendy's breakfast burrito has an entire breakfast in every bite. Fresh cracked eggs, seasoned potatoes, American cheese, cheese sauce, and sausage or bacon. So the first bite is like fresh cracked American eggs, cheese, sauce, bacon. And the second bite is like fresh cracked American eggs, cheese, sauce, bacon.
You get the idea. And now, get yours with a dollar any size soft drink. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Exclusions apply.
Team pulled off a shocker last Sunday with an upset of defending national champion Florida State. The Hokies trailed 2-0 late in the match, but quickly tied things up in the 85th minute. Moments later, junior Taylor Price knocked in the go-ahead goal, which proved to be the game winner. The loss was the second straight for the Seminoles, who had just had their 32-game unbeaten streak ended in their prior match against Wake Forest. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Obviously, it is not too early to start thinking about basketball, as this week, MIAA Basketball Media Day at the College Basketball Experience in Kansas City. It was the first one for the first-year head coach for Emporia State, Tom Billiter. So I talked with him about the upcoming season earlier this week in Kansas City. Well, Coach, you've got a lot of energy, and it's finally time to go. This has to be feeling great for you to finally be able to see the calendar and see, okay, we've got a game this month.
You know, it's so fun, Blake, because I'm kind of backtracking here, and I will answer your question, but we've always heard of this thing, even when I was in the Northern Sun, that they would have the media day down in Kansas City, and, you know, it being in the same region, coaches at Final Fours get together and what have you, and we'd visit, and they were always so, this league, they got along well. The coaches seemed to have a really good, like a fraternity almost, and they talked a lot about that. And old-time coaches, Tom Smith is still a good friend of mine, and Kim Anderson's a very good friend of mine, and just these coaches that were always in the league. Well, having Don get an opportunity to experience it, I get a very good feel, much better feel for what they were talking about. And it is. It's to bring a couple players up here to the basketball college experience. The venue's phenomenal. Media everywhere. Get coaches in and out with their players to see them in a different light. Extremely well done. Mike Gracie and his staff do a great job, and really proud to be a part of it and to represent Emporia. It's been a lot of fun.
I know that you're excited to get started with this new challenge. And are you surprised? I mean, obviously you thought that this would be a good move for you in terms of changing things up a little bit, not being afraid of change. Are you surprised at how well you've taken to this big life change and this big coaching career change?
I'm not surprised, but I'm so happy it's happening as well as it is. You know, I knew what I was capable of. My wife and I don't need much. We're from a town of 5,000 people, and then we've lived in every major, you know, Chicago and New York and Houston, and, you know, we've lived all around the country in major cities. For us to be at a community of 20, you know, it's not a tiny town. It's 27,000 people, but the people here and our neighbors and the university and everybody, is just the other coaches' wives have all been just been incredible. And you know, it's been really easy to come into this community. But I was semi-joking earlier on stage, as you heard me. I think when you're winning, it's going to be great living in Emporia. If you ain't winning, I'm serious. I'm going to buy property. I said Opie, but I might have to go a little further than Opie, because I can't believe it's a whole lot of fun around here if you're not winning at a pretty decent level.
Well, I'm sure the great folks of Madison would be happy to have you, or Lebo or Linden, and any of those places. One other thing. Talk to me about there's so much change in college basketball now, and you've been at so many different levels, and I'm going to, you know, not that Coach Billiter is a big braggadocious guy, I don't know that you are, but, you know, we were coming down the elevator like, oh, I beat Bob Knight, and I beat all these.
I was the assistant. I was on the staff, but it was my scout. I'll give you that. It was, but yeah.
My question being that, you know, you've been at the Division I level, you've been at Division II. What has made Division II the place that you've decided to kind of stick and stay?
You know, I can't stand talking about myself. I get very nervous about it. I just hate it. But I will say this. I've had opportunities, especially since we won the championship in 16, to go back to Division I. And you know, a couple of different – I thought Augie at that time had applied to go Division I, and we were trying to get into the Summit League. And I was very happy with that. I thought we could be good in that league. I thought the league was, you know, was the old North Central Conference, which we'd had success with when I was at North Dakota State. I had very good, very solid backing of donors and people behind us, and I thought we were going to get in. And when the league didn't accept us, that changed everything. So I don't know, had maybe I not taken a different job or gone a different route or a different opportunity, had Augie during that time period not been applying and putting everything in the works to get accepted to be in the Summit League. So that did change that time. Having said that, I love Division II. And I'll tell you why. It's got a lot more to with relationships, in my opinion. I really do believe that, you know, my wife and I can't tell you how much money we spend each summer on wedding gifts. You know, these kids are inviting you back to their weddings, and, you know, it really is true. And I always tell this story, and I'll keep it really short, but I had a player of the year, Dan Jansen, only non-Division I player that went on a summer tour. And by the end of the tour, he said, Coach, I was the only happy guy. He goes, those guys are all these major Division I players were miserable. They're there all summer. They never got a break. And he goes, I was having the time of my life, you know. And they were all like, why don't you come to our school? Come to our school. And he was like, I love where I am. He goes, I love where I am. He goes, I ain't leaving to go anywhere. And he definitely could have played at that level. He was the player of the year in Division II. And so, you know, D2 does do a nice job, in my opinion, of balance. You do get an opportunity to play at a very high level. Everybody you talk to will say, I can't get over how good. When people come to my games that have been Division I their whole life, and now they may be retired, and they'll come stay with Paul and I or come to our games, they always say, I can't get over how good the basketball is at that level. Every one of them talks about it, you know, and they just can't believe how well coached and how hard these kids play. And as they get older, you know, it's proven right now with kids that are grad transferring and what have you. Look at Colorado State's roster. You know, they had three Division II grad transfers last year. I mean, these kids are going up onto those levels at those times, and they're starting and kicking tail. You know, it's a great level, and I really have enjoyed the journey. I wouldn't change anything. Been blessed for 40 years.
Yeah, it's not going to change when you got guys like Trevor Hudgens, the best player in the G League, and Ryan Hawkins helping Creighton to get to the NCAA tournament. We're here with Tom Billiter on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Normally, when you come back the next year, certainly you're going to do an evaluation of the guys that you have returning back. The guys that you have returning back for Emporia State were not necessarily your guys. Are you someone that'll look back and see what they did and look at film? Do you just throw that away and it's a clean, fresh start? How have you evaluated the Hornets that are back off of last year's team?
It's a really good question. None of them played.
Correct.
They were all redshirted, and the practice tapes are missing or gone. I don't know how to even get those. So Cale McGee played a little bit, you know, and we're familiar with Cale. He was at Northern State in our league before he transferred down here. And so, you know, really and truly, though, I just want to win. And so I give everyone an opportunity. It's a blank. You know, everyone got to start brand new. I know people thought you brought three players with you and then three kids that had committed to you at your previous school came with you. But they don't. They chose to do that. We didn't do that. They chose to come here. And I love all my guys. They might not know that during practice, but I try to treat, and I just want the best. Sometimes the best chemistry and the best team you can have out there aren't necessarily who everyone else might think are your best players. You know, I believe in the game. I believe in the beauty of the game, and I believe in the chemistry of the game. And sometimes those are different combinations. And so it's a really great question. You ask really good questions because I rarely get asked such a – that's an in-depth question about, you know, watching previous film, previous practices. Of course, we've seen Emporia play on synergy, and especially in regional – when we were in quite a few regions, and we'd often play – a team maybe that Emporia had beaten, you know, Northwest Mo or whatever, and we would watch that game. But overall, I got to tell you the truth. I kind of do it my way and what I'm going to do, and I really don't care a whole lot about previously what happened. I pretty much just do it my way and give every kid a brand new opportunity. Great question.
Well,
it really is.
Well,
cool question. Made me think.
We'll see if we can keep doing that for the whole season. You know, you want to win, we want to ask good questions. The team, and especially with the transfer portal right now, it's so easy for guys to leave and come in. It feels like rosters turn over so much. This year, certainly the roster has turned over a lot, but that's because you're coming in, taking new guys, and you were recruiting guys, and it's a new team, new situation. How do you feel like the blending is going in terms of the guys getting to know each other and figuring out where they slot in, and then you getting to know the guys and figuring out all the slots that they need to fit in?
Yeah, interesting. I thought Coach Ballard, when he was on before us, brought up a great point. He's senior Laden this year, and senior Laden, and they, you just don't have that. You know, you just don't have seniors anymore at any level. It's really hard to have seniors. It's not a, I mean, it's a positive. You know, it's a positive of his program, but it's not a negative against a program. It really isn't. Kids in that last year might want to try an opportunity to play up. That's usually what it is, and I understand that. However, having said that, and we were always able to keep our seniors for the most part, too. But having said that, I loved the portal this year getting this job. And I don't know what we would have done without it.
Sure.
Because it's 100%. You know, we brought in, well, we ended up bringing in 11 kids. And I would say about, you know, probably about 9 of the 11 came via the portal in one way or another. We had familiarity with some of them. But, you know, without that portal, it would have been a way harder, difficult job, and I was really happy this year to have it. But there's a lot of truth, you know, and if you ever look past my record, I'll have, you know, 18 and 12 years and not very good seasons, but then you'll see a couple good ones in a row. I can almost all but guarantee you I have all juniors and seniors on that team that have been with me and learned our system. I can guarantee I have. Maybe not the most talented kids, but they were always juniors and seniors and knew what it took to win. This year, I don't have a senior really on the team. Some are academically, but maybe not with eligibility. And so, you know, what we can get in this year, maybe keep it a little simpler than in the past, but really get solid with what we do, both as an X and O, but also as a, this is what we do as a program. You know, this is how we travel. This is how we act off the court. This is the things we do in the community. This is how we treat each other. Our meetings, our talks about life, you know, and going out after basketball and what you're going to become, do, be, all those things are all part of our program. And we're doing all of that brand new right now.
Final question for you, and you mentioned the records, and you said at your initial press conference, hey, I don't want to waste time. I want to get this thing going fast and don't necessarily have to put a win total on it, but what are your expectations for year one?
You know, I don't ever put a wins and loss total on it. I really don't. I'm not very good at that. But I do think we're going to be an interesting team. And this isn't you asked the question, I'll give you an honest answer. I think we're going to be way better the second half of the season than the first, and I think we're going to be really good next year. I think next year you better look out. I feel like – but we teach defense. We have a system. We guard ball screens 3, 4, 5 different ways. I know people think that's too hard. Some coaches will argue with me. It's how we do it, and we've had success. We have an offense that you've got to learn when to do certain things, and there's triggers, and there's reasons you do and cut when you do, and all of that. And so it takes a little bit. I've dummied it down quite a bit from where I was even 10 years ago, but it's still probably more complicated than these kids have been exposed to in quite some time, not necessarily all of them, but most of them. So, you know, I do think we're going to continue to show improvement. I think this year we're going to beat some teams. You're going to say, holy moly, we're going to lose to some teams, and you're going to be like, God, they stink. Why did we how'd we get this old fogey? You know, I mean, that's just going to happen. And so, but overall, the progression's going to be there. The trajectory is there. But I do think it's right now, I don't think it's going to take 4 or 5 years, but I think in 2 years we're really going to have something established here.
Well, Coach, I'm looking forward to this a lot. We're going to have a lot of these conversations over the year. Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, Blake, thank you. You do a great job. And appreciate you guys very much. Thank you.
Dylan, Tim, back to you in the studio.
All right. Thank you very much, Blake. Always a good interview with Tom Billiter, the Emporia State men's basketball coach. We do have Mitch Holtus waiting in the wings. Dylan, let's go ahead and take our second break. That way we can clear the deck for Mitch. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Hey, East Central Kansas, Chevy truck season continues at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, and the offers are even better. Get truck season offers on our inventory of new Silverado models in stock. Offers like a 2024 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 with lots of great options right now, only $489 a month for 36 months. Or get a 2025 Chevy Trax Active for only $289 per month for 36 months. Plus, you can get a 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for only $329 per month for 36 months. The truck season savings are great, so don't wait another day. Hurry in for our best inventory in years at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Or you can visit us online 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. Payments based on 36-month low mileage lease, 12,000 miles per year, $6,500 cash or trade equity plus TT&L due at closing with approved credit.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Whether you're buying your first home or moving into a new home, getting your home loan with Emporia State Federal Credit Union is convenient and easy. Emporia State Federal Credit Union knows the local market. They remain number one in mortgage lending in Lyon County by giving members flexible programs and down payment options, low closing costs, and fast underwriting. Visit esfcu.com to apply today. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
And we're back on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. And as Mitch alluded to last week, despite him getting a weekend off with the Chiefs bye week, Mitch very gracious with his time as we have him waiting in the wings here to talk Chiefs football. Of course, Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424226. Good morning, Mitch Holtus.
Good morning, Tim. When you ever have a date night with your wife?
Yes.
And did she make you read that?
Well, yeah, she wants me to make sure that I'm well that I'm well versed.
Well, it was so well done, but I thought, you know, it's very romantic when you read that. Probably across the table with just, you know.
Well, particularly, you know, we'd read it nice and quiet over candlelight.
Exactly.
You know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and she's going to read the ad. Read the ad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sets a great tone. So.
Yeah. It's, and whatever works, man. You know, so love the Emporia State Federal Credit Union ad because it even has a romantic effect.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Mitch, what are you going to do with yourself? You have a weekend off.
Been awesome, actually, and I kind of spent it like most of our players and coaches, and that is you go home, wherever home is. Our players are scattered around the United States today. A lot of them are at their alma maters. They love to go back. Like, Trey Smith can't wait to go back to Tennessee, and Creed Humphrey, I'm sure, is at the Red River Rivalry, and we saw Mahomes. He was watching his team that he owns part way, and then getting away, but I'm in Smith Center. You guys know it's
all right.
Home.
Yes,
my dad is awesome. Yeah, I posted on social media. He's 92 years old, or almost 92, and volunteers at the Wellness Center, and still works out. And never better than to go to Hubbard Stadium for a Friday Night Lights with the Redmen. And last night they tried to turn their season around after an 0-4 start, which was their worst start in 49 years. But now they're starting to turn the ship a bit and won handily last night, so they could still win their district and push on. But that's where I'm at, man, and it's like Camp David for me, just to escape.
Well, Mitch, this is kind of a you know the bye week. I saw this yesterday with the 49ers. They're going to have 10 days to prepare for the Chiefs, while the Chiefs are going to have 13 days off to prepare for that game with San Francisco. How beneficial is the bye week right now?
I'm going to give you more of a global answer, and then I can kind of narrow it down to the 49ers game in specific. And it was the topic of my Minute with Mitch. You guys run it on your air, and I run it television on Channel 13 in your market. This bye week, people kept asking me, is it too early? It's too early. And I kind of alluded to you guys last Saturday, I think, about it. But no, not when you're a team. The Chiefs team has played more games in a condensed time than any team in NFL history. They played 46 games in 2 years and 1/4, more than any other team in NFL history. So like you're at Kansas Speedway and you get a four-tire change, 1/4 miles or 1/4 into the race, you take it. Any bit of rest, and I mean mental and emotional rest as much as physical rest, take it. Because now we start a jaunt all the way to Black Friday, and then that will be a long weekend that will feel like a rest during that time. Okay. Now, here's my micro down to your answer, Dylan. Last year, and I remember talking to you guys about it, the fact that in December, the Chiefs faced five consecutive opponents that we had between 9 and 14 days to prepare for them. The Chiefs had a net rest advantage. This guy named Warren Sharp does this. Once the schedule comes out, he does a complete analysis of all 32 teams, who gets rest and who doesn't, and who gets a net rest advantage. Last year, the Chiefs were near the bottom. Only one team was worse, that they had to grind through teams having more rest than they did. This year, it's plus. The Chiefs actually, even though they play three games in 10 days in December, it's going to be grueling, but they actually have a net rest advantage this year, and this is one example. Yes, the 49ers have 9 days, but the Chiefs have 13. So that plus four, that accumulates as the season goes on. It doesn't seem like a big deal now, but it all adds up when you get to December, January, and hopefully February.
Mitch, just to revisit the game against the Saints, 11th straight win for the Chiefs. And just to go through some of the numbers, if fans didn't pay close enough attention, you look at that game, first downs, 28-14 Kansas City. Plays ran, 80-51 yards, 460 to 220. Time of possession, almost 40 minutes to 20 minutes. I guess if you want to be critical, you could say they were only 2 of 7 in the red zone, but was that not the most complete game they've played to this point?
Yes, for certain, and I think it was close to being a blowout. If Juju Smith-Schuster doesn't mishandle that pass, or here's an idea on second and goal at the 2, give it to Kareem Hunt, let him blast it in there. That if you go up to that point 23-7, I think that game ends up feeling like a 30-10. And even 26-13 after all these one-score wins feels like a 40-point win.
Yeah.
But I think that the other thing, what makes it complete, Tim, is the fact that you've got volume on offense. We love offensive football. It's how we play fantasy football. That's how we kind of judge a team, sometimes unfairly. But we finally got to go with the defense and special teams volume. So 300-yard passer with Mahomes, 100-yard rusher with Kareem Hunt, 100-yard receiver with Juju Smith-Schuster. That had not happened since November the 20th of 2022 when we had the walk-off or runoff by Kelce in overtime to beat the Chargers in SoFi Stadium. So it's been a while since that's happened, but it happened in this game, and it makes everybody feel better because the defense was still there and dominant outside of a few plays.
Mitch, do you feel like with what Juju Smith-Schuster did on Monday night, given that he was re-signed to the team, you know, after being away for a year, do you feel like his performance Monday night gives him a little confidence in what the offense wants to do and knowing he could be someone to be dependent on because with all the injuries in the wide receiver room?
Are you happy, Dylan?
I am happy.
I thought so. It kind of comes across to me like you're a happy guy. Tim, are you happy?
Absolutely.
I thought so. You come across like a happy guy, particularly when the candlelit dinner and she's reading the or you're reading the
absolutely
federal credit union. You're going to be really happy. All right, anyway, you're blushing. There are three humans right now, and I love working with Charlie Spooner. You know, for years and years I did basketball with him. And he always said, I think I'm the happiest guy in the world, which made him really mad when he had to play Valparaiso, coached by Homer Drew, because he called Homer Drew Coach Happy. Because Spoon would turn to his assistants and go, why is Homer always happier than I am? I'm the happiest guy in America, and he's always happier than I am. So that always bugged Spoon, which made him unhappy, ironically. Now, here's my point, as I'm circling around here, that the three happiest humans right now on the planet are one, Juju Smith-Schuster, two, Kareem Hunt, three, Samaje Perine. Now, in the case of the first two, they were here and were gone for a variety of reasons, as we know. Now they're back. I have talked to both of those guys privately, and in the case of Juju, publicly in an interview, just about this culture of the Chiefs and how it is so different. Because they have perspective. Kareem has perspective of Cleveland. Juju has perspective of Pittsburgh and New England. He said, you don't have it. There's nowhere else in the league. So he's happy. My answer to you, Dylan, as he gets acclimated more and more back into the offense, he will be more of a factor. Now, the physical limitations of Juju at this point are what's holding him back. Those knees are not the same as the 2018 Juju Smith-Schuster. In the case of Kareem Hunt, I was talking to a high school player last night after Smith Center's game who actually missed a game because of suspension. He's a really good player. Now he's back. And I said, you're feeling like I did. I missed last year the Green Bay game because I was diagnosed with COVID. And so 504 games, I had gone consecutive games. I missed the game, but I got a chance to get it back. We don't always get that chance, but when you lose something or if something is taken away, and you get it back, it makes you appreciate it 10 times more. That's where Juju's at. That's where Kareem is at. In the case of Samaje Perine, he's got perspective of Bengals and Broncos. He is so happy to be here right now in this culture, in this offense. These guys can't see straight. So I think I'm giving you a long-winded answer, but that's the dynamic here with these three guys, is I think as long as they're healthy, there's going to be some productivity there. Not enough to take it on your fantasy team, but enough to help win reality games.
Mitch, to just spit out some more numbers here, Derrick Henry, 46, Bijan Robinson, 31, J.K. Dobbins, 32, Alvin Kamara, 26. Those are the yards rushing for these running backs against the Kansas City Chiefs. Man, this defense against the run has just been incredible.
And you just listed off 2, 4, 7, and 16 in the NFL. And the only reason Dobbins is 16 is he's got a bye week. He had a bye week last week. Otherwise, he would be in the top 10. You just listed off 4 of the top 10 running backs in the league, and the Chiefs have snuffed them out like a blanket over a fire. like it's a campfire. So it's remarkable what this Chiefs team has done, and they've done it on a consistent basis. And they'll get challenged again in these weeks ahead. But to take out elite runners and to take them out, in the case of Kamara, you're looking at Alvin Kamara, who's been a double-double machine, right? He was the first running back in NFL history to have 3,000 rushing yards and 3,000 receiving yards. He came into that game on Monday night as the top all-purpose back in the league when you take his receiving totals to his rushing totals, and he was held to 66 total yards. You mentioned the 26 rushing yards, but he didn't have many passing yards either. And so defensively, this Chiefs team has been superb, and in many ways making the case that they are the top defense in the NFL. When you look at the total defensive numbers, which is fool's gold, don't look at that in valuing a defense. Look at scoring defense, red zone defense, goal-to-go defense, and those are your base subjects when you look at a defensive team, whether it's ESU or Emporia High or Olpe or Lebo.
Mitch, I want to bring something else up about the defense, but how do you feel like Trent McDuffie is playing right now?
Name corners that are better than him right now.
He's probably the best one in the league.
Second, maybe. Sauce Gardner, he's slipped up a little bit. I think he's probably with Sertan, I got to think, but those are probably the one and two corners in this league right now. The only reason the world hasn't realized it is that McDuffie, remarkably, in 2 1/4 years, doesn't have a pick. That's crazy. Now, a lot of it, he's getting a lot of balls thrown his way. But his coverage, and again, on elite receivers, he's taken on the Chris Olaves of the world and shutting them down. And so where is he? At the top, or if not at the top, near the top.
Well, Mitch, as we sit here now taking a breath, going into our bye week, and maybe as you've maybe sit back and done a little analysis of what the AFC looks like, who are the contenders with Kansas City?
Well, Buffalo really slipped up in that game against Houston. Now, that's one where the winner of that game, to me, felt like the greatest challenger. The Ravens are still there, but if you look at the Ravens' schedule, there's more losses coming for those guys. That's why an 0-2 start was rough for them, because of the bulk of their schedule. But to me, it seems like this is Buffalo, Houston that's right behind us or right there, and maybe Baltimore. I mean, we'll see with the others, but I think that's pretty much it. But Houston's legit. Now, they've got some injuries. Collins is a really good receiver. But them to win in Buffalo, with Buffalo just losing their mind, throwing the ball three times, three Houston timeouts is, I don't know, that's, you're in front of a war crimes trial after that. Like, what are you guys doing? But those are losses you don't get back. And the fact that we have not been A-grade and everything, especially red zone offense, as you alluded to, Tim, to sit here at 5-0 is building up equity, because these teams that I'm mentioning all have tough games coming up, as do we.
You know, I didn't realize that the Chiefs were 5-0 for the first time since 2018. For as successful, of course, as they've been, that stat really kind of jumped out at me for some reason.
Well, there's always been a nick here or there. There's been a chip or a nick or a Colts game in 22. And last year, to start the season with all the drops and lose to the Lions. Yeah, we do forget that. Although Andy Reid has been so successful in September with 6 undefeated Septembers in 12 years, truthfully, it's always been early October that it's been kind of the ouchy part of the schedule. Yeah. And so here we are. We're already 1-0 in October, which is a big deal. That's why that Saints game looms a little bit bigger than maybe people might think.
Well, Mitch, enjoy your time off. Enjoy spending time in Smith Center. We always appreciate the time you give us, and we look forward to talking to you again next week.
Where's ESU today?
ESU is in Joplin, Missouri, taking on the Lions of Missouri Southern.
Lions of Missouri Southern. All right. Well, all right, fellas. Well, thanks for the time, and Clint Boyer would be on to probably tell you, yeah, man, if you get a pit stop, take them when you get them.
That's actually
a long old race.
Yes,
absolutely.
Clint would give you the best perspective.
That's absolutely. Mitch, thanks again.
Thanks, right, Mitch.
All right. Mitch Holtas, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, whose appearance has been made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS, number 424-226. And Dylan, just to kind of round up our schedule for today, of course, is Mitch just asked about Emporia State on the road at Missouri Southern. Of course, that game will be heard on Mix 104.9, noon pregame, 1 o'clock kickoff from Joplin. On Country 101.7 FM, we have Kansas State football, but very late at night, maybe past your bedtime, Dylan. as pregame will start at 7, they will not kick it off until 9:15. Kansas State, 18th ranked in the country, at Colorado. So they go take on Coach Prime and the Colorado Buffaloes. And then here on KVOE AM, no KU football today. Fortunately, they're off this week. They need all the off time they can get to refigure out their season.
Well, and Tim, Arizona State upset Utah last night. And
makes you feel a little better about the loss. Not much.
Yep.
But, Arizona State continues to roll. Yeah, they upset Utah last night, who was the 16th ranked team in the country. But here on KVOE AM, man, what a great college football game we'll have for you tonight. 6 o'clock airtime, 6:30 kickoff, number 2 Ohio State at number 3 Oregon. Should be a real dandy from Eugene, Oregon. So that is our schedule for today. So that will wrap things up. Of course, our thanks to our guest, Tom Billiter, the Emporia State men's basketball coach. Also, of course, to the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtas. For Dylan Sherwood, I'm Tim Miller. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Wildcats.
Touchdown, Kansas State.
Get ready to pound the stone.